Shalom Aleichem. Parshas Pinchas is a continuation of the prior Parsha, Parshas Balak, which we'll get to in a little bit, what that continuation is. And after that, we will talk in our Parsha about the new census of Klal Yisrael, counting how many people were in Klal Yisrael, how many Levim, and then we'll have a discussion of Tzlafchad's daughters. Tzlafchad did not make it into the land of Israel, and all he had were daughters, not sons, and the daughters here request a Yerusha land in the land of Israel, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to consult with the Kodesh Baruch Hu what happens in that situation. Yerusha goes through the sons, not the daughters, and indeed we will get a correction on that, based on the discussion that Moshe Rabbeinu has with the Kodesh Baruch Hu at the request of Tzlafchad's daughters. Then we'll have Moshe Rabbeinu asking for a successor. And then at the end of the Parsha, quite famous psukim, we have talk about the Korban Tamid and Shabbos and the various Chagim. To get back to the beginning of the Parsha, continuing from last week's Parsha, we have a travesty, the terrible thing. We had Balak being unsuccessful in having Bilam curse Klal Yisrael. So Bilam says at the end of the day, I have another Eitzah and this one is going to work. And he says, I know that the God of the Jews hates immorality. So what Moab and their partner in crime, Midian, should do is that they should send their women, even the princesses, the non-Jewish princesses, to entice the Jewish men, and indeed that will start the downward process when it comes to harlotry, promiscuity, and also that leads to Avodah Zarah, worship of non-Jewish gods, because the men will follow the non-Jewish women. And that's what happened, a terrible situation, and even we have a Jewish prince, a man, cohorting together with a non-Jewish princess in public. There is the result of the immorality is a plague in Klal Yisrael. 24,000 people die. And Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon, so the grandson of Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, gets up and says this has to stop. When he saw that the Jewish prince and non-Jewish princess cohorting in public together, he remembered there was a halacha called Kanaim Pogimbo. When you see such an instance of a sin like that, you take the law into your own hands. And he slayed both of them, he killed both of them. And that act, which we could view as an act of violence, it was actually an act of peace, because it brought a stop to the entire plague and potential destruction of Klal Yisrael as a result of the immorality. And that's where we pick up in Parshas Pinchas, beginning of this week's Parsha. We will have five Divrei Torah. The first of them is as follows. Hashem says as follows to Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, a Kohen, talking about Pinchas, the grandson of Aaron. It was he who turned back my wrath, my kina, when his zealously avenging my vengeance, is what the English says, because he took the law into his own hands and he stopped this tremendous Chilul Hashem happening in public between that Jewish prince and Jewish princess. And by virtue of his taking the law into his own hands correctly in this situation, that is what stopped the plague. And accordingly, I am going to give him a bris shalom, different explanations of that, what that means, the covenant of peace, and he will be entered to be a Kohen for all eternity as well. And what we'll focus on initially is the pasuk says, "Bekano es kinasi besocham." He, in his zealotry, what he did was a tremendous thing. "Bekano es kinasi," but it says besocham in them. What is that referring to in them? So we're going to give two separate explanations here. We have Pinchas, who could not sit on the sideline seeing the tremendous sin that was happening. And accordingly, the Rebbe Mikatz, the Kutzke Rebbe, says, "Bekanoas kinasi besocham," that kina that he had, that jealousy towards God to do the right thing, he couldn't sit watching the sin. That is what instilled and ingrained into every Jew for then and the future, the inability to sit on the sideline when they see an avera going on. And that's what besocham in them, bekano es kinasi besocham, that he instilled, ingrained, implanted that zealotry into each Jew, that when they see a sin, they're going to feel at a minimum uncomfortable. Hopefully they'll do something, maybe they'll do something. It really depends the situation, but at a minimum, we should never be comfortable sitting on the sidelines when we see something wrong. And that's based on the act of Pinchas in taking the law into his hands when he saw something terrible happen. And that is besocham. That's what instilled in us that same feeling. Just another explanation. What that means is that despite the fact that Pinchas took a very extreme act. He did an extreme act by taking the law into his own hands and killing two people. They were doing something terrible, but still, there would be a propensity of people to distance themselves from him, viewing him as a total zealot, somebody who is an extreme personality. That's what we would thought to happen, but on the other hand, that's not what happened. The Gonmari Mivorka tells us as follows. That's what this pasuk, Kano es Kanisi Bisocham, that despite the fact that we would have thought that he would be sidelined by everyone else, he stayed very much part of the community. They included him because there was a recognition that Pinchas indeed did 100% the right thing, the necessary thing, and that is indeed what stopped the plague. Now, that is for many people, he was not sidelined, but there were people, and this is leading into our next Dvar Torah, that were skeptical of Pinchas. They were actually disgracing Pinchas after he took this act. He killed the prince of Klal Yisrael, and they would say, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, the pasuk does say that he's Pinchas, the son of Allah, of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, a Kohen, an amazing lineage, but in fact, truth be told, they were saying, and it was correct, that he didn't have 100% pure lineage. The fact is that Pinchas' father was married to the daughter of Yisro. Yisro was not Jewish, and he was a former priest of Midian. So they would say, you took the act, but you're not even fully Jewish. You have non-Jewish blood in you, and they would make fun of him accordingly. So the pasuk in Dvar Torah number 2 says as follows. We quoted it before. Lachen emor inini nosen lo es brisi shalom. I am giving him the covenant of peace. So the Medrash says on that bedin hu shiitol scharo. He has his schar coming to him. Pinchas earned the schar that he is going to get by acting as he did. So Rashi brings what we just said before, that there were some of the Shvatim, some of the people in Klal Yisrael that were disgracing him, saying that you are a descendant of Yisro. And accordingly, that's why the Pasuk here wanted to spell out his lineage. People are making fun of his lineage. Let's say that he has a good lineage, and let's prove it he has a good lineage. That's why it says he's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. That's towards the beginning of the Parsha, second Pasuk in the Parsha. That is why the Torah tells us he had a good lineage. But truth be told, and this is a question that the Binyan Ariel asks as follows, it's nice that it's saying that he has a good lineage, that he's the grandson of Aaron, but that doesn't really answer the question, because truth be told, he has a blemish in his lineage because it's not fully Jewish. His father was indeed married to the daughter of Yisro, who wasn't Jewish. So converted, okay, became Jewish, but that's not 100% pure lineage. So it's really not answering it that the Torah is saying that he was the grandson of Aaron, and the claim here is that he doesn't have a pure lineage, and that's the truth. That's still the case. So the Binyan Ariel says absolutely beautifully, he says, what's going on here? We're going to answer based on a Gemara. That apparently doesn't relate, and then we're going to come back to our question. So the Gemara says that there was a discussion, there was a Kohen Gadol, a descendant of Aharon, and he says to two of the great Tanaim at his time, Shmaya and Avtalion, now they were the children of Gerim, of converts, and he kind of slighted them. He slighted their lineage, and he says, Rem is a little bit of a hint that you come from non-Jews. That's what the Kohen Gadol, that's a descendant of Aaron, says to Shmaya and Avtalion, these great sages, but nonetheless, they were, truth be told, they weren't born daughter to son to whatever it is, going up descendants of Jews with ancestors going all the way up. But indeed, they had ancestors that were not Jewish. So Shmaya and Avtalion respond back to this Kohen Gadol and says, admittedly, that's true, our lineage is not pure, but nonetheless, the acts that we do the acts of Aharon. But you, on the other hand, your lineage is from Aaron, but you don't act like Aharon, your ancestor. Once again, they responded as follows. Truth be told, our lineage is not from Aaron. In other words, we don't have a pure lineage, but we do act. We act like Aaron. On the other hand, you're the converse of that. You are a descendant of Aaron, but you don't act like Aaron. And what's going on here is the actions of Aaron. Aaron was known to be an Oev Shalom Verodav Shalom. He loved peace. He loved tranquility. He loved people getting along in harmony in Klal Yisrael. And we see here, indeed, that what Shmaya and Avtalion are telling us is so much more important than the lineage. Having a lineage all the way up to Aaron, having a great pedigree, much more important is how you act. And you act like the proper people that come before us. That's more important, to act like Aaron, than to be a descendant of Aharon. And in fact, that is what the Torah is saying to us when it says that Pinchas was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. Okay, and it's not focusing on the lineage here. They indeed, Pinchas indeed, did not have 100% lineage. But that's not the point. What the Torah is pointing out here is that he was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. We're not talking about the lineage. Even if you want to admit, and it's true, he doesn't have a pure lineage. We'll acknowledge that. It doesn't matter. The key is, how does somebody act? And it was Pinchas who was Heishiv es Hamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. It was him who stopped the animosity, the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael because of their immorality. It was him who did the proper act. It's Kim who's acting like Aaron because he brought peace back to Klal Yisrael. He stopped the plague. He knew how to act in that situation. And accordingly, that's why he is called Ben Aaron HaKohen. That's why we are stressing, why is he, his lineage is not based on having 100% pure lineage and not having any blemishes in his lineage going up to Aaron, but how he acts, that goes directly up to Aaron. And accordingly, hinini nosen lo es bris shalom, that's why he is going to have a bris of shalom, this covenant of shalom. That is why the Medrash, to go back to our pasuk, he said, lachen emor hinini nosen lo es bris shalom, because he's Pinchas, and how he acted, he's going to have the covenant of shalom. That's why the Medrash says, bedin hu shito scharo, this is why he's going to get the schar. It's not because his lineage is not 100%. It doesn't matter. What matters is how he acted. And he acted properly. And once he acted properly, he's acting like Aharon, his grandfather, even though there may be a blemishes in his lineage. But that's not what to look at. The what to look at is his maisim, his actions, how he acts. And his actions are what brings peace to Klal Yisrael and not his lineage. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We're talking about the Benos Tzlafchad. These are the daughters of Tzlafchad. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we would like a Yerusha. We would like a part in the land of Israel. We have no brothers. The boys are getting the Yerusha, not the daughters. We like a part also because we don't have any brothers. And the Pasuk says, we are now in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Ken Benos Tzlafchad Dovros. This is how Benos Tzlafchad are speaking. Yes, correctly, this is how the Benos Tzlafchad are speaking. What's going on here? So the Rav Nachum Yisroel Melifna says that when a tzaddik, or a gadol ador, or somebody who is a responsible leader is approached, oftentimes they're approached for a bracha in ruchnias, or a bracha to have a good shidduch, or to have a good parnasa, important brachas. And some of the times, as we mentioned, parnasa, people are coming for what could be looked at as purely materialistic needs. So if you're coming for a ruchnias need, a spiritual need, okay, that's looked at very fondly, but there could be a propensity when somebody comes to ask for money, I need money, I want to have a huge hit in my business, that the gadol, the person who's running the generation or the tzaddik could look down upon that. You're just asking for money, that's not a good thing to ask for. But in fact, that is not the case, because if we have a proper leader, a proper person who is running Klal Yisrael, they are going to do what is called a limud schus. They're going to look at the merit. And when somebody asks for even something that is materialistic, they're going to say it must be that they're asking for a proper purpose. They want that money so they can live a healthy life and raise proper kids and give a lot of tzedakah and build a shul and give it for proper purposes and the like. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did when the daughters of Tzlacha came to him and said, we'd like an achal, we'd like an inheritance, we'd like a Yerusha in the land of Israel, we'd like some land in the land of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu did not look down on that. In fact, he said immediately, he thought to himself immediately, their kavana, their intentions are pure. They want this l'shem shamayim. It's not that they simply want wealth and gold and silver, real estate to make it big, but rather they certainly have proper intentions in wanting this wealth, because wealth can be used for proper purposes or improper purposes. And Moshe Rabbeinu indeed was melamed chus. He said it's very likely it must be that they want it for the proper purpose. And accordingly, the pasuk says, "Vayikrav Moshe es mishpatan lifnei Hashem." Moshe brought their mishpat, their question, because he really didn't know the answer. He brought this question lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. And the implication of the lifnei Hashem is that he was telling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Indeed, I believe that they have proper intentions. They're not just asking for money and materialism, but they want to do the right thing with the materialism that we would be giving them if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, decide that they should get a portion in the land of Israel." And in fact, the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was our pasuk. Kain benoslav chatovras. Yes, you are correct. But even more so, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a limud schus. You are saying, I'm assuming, and it's proper that they are have the right kavana, and I am confirming it's 100% correct, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows their thoughts. It's not just a limud schus that they have the right intentions. Can 100% I confirm that the benoslav chat, these daughters of slachot, indeed are mechavin l'shem shamayim, they have the right intentions of wanting this wealth, this materialism. It's all for pure, proper reasons. And that was the discussion, and that's what this pasuk is. And obviously, one takeaway here is money can be for proper purposes, l'shem shamayim, and proper money can be for improper purposes. There's nothing wrong with wanting money, desiring money, if it is a means, but it's not an ends. If it's a proper means to proper things, that is a wonderful thing, and that is represented by this conversation between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both acknowledging when you want materialism, the Shem Shemayim, for the proper purposes, and it's used for the proper purposes, indeed that is a healthy and wonderful thing. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, the discussion between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu requesting a leader, a success for him, that will take Klal Yisrael into the land of Israel. And the pasuk says as follows: when Perek Chav Zayin pasuk Yuzayin Lotia Adas Hashem Kitzon Asher Ein Lam Roeh. It should not be that the Eda, that the congregation, the Tzibur, Klal Yisrael, should be like sheep without a shepherd. And what's going on here, says the Sfasim Emes, is who's the real shepherd of Klal Yisrael? It's not our leaders, it's not our mentors, it's not the rabbis, they're also leaders. But the ultimate leader, the shepherd, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Indeed, that's what Yaakov Avinu said, Elokim HaRoi Osi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my shepherd. And that's what David HaMelech said, Hashem Roi Lo Achsar, and Tehillim Chav Gimel, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is my shepherd, and I shall not be lacking. But the issue that we have, certainly in our generations and in going on for many generations until now, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behester. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu effectively is hiding his face from us, but that is up to the tzaddikim and the manhigim, the leaders of our generations. It is for them to show the entire world, to show Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still 100% involved with our lives. Everything that happens is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's tough for us to see, and that's why we need the proper leaders and the tzaddikim and the gedolei hador to explain to us and clarify to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed here. It's just behest upon him that we can't see God's involvement in the situation that we have today. However, when we don't have the proper manhigim, when we don't have the proper leaders, when we don't have the proper tzaddikim to guide us, we don't have the right people. We don't have the people at all to show us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there. And what we're saying here, says the Sfas Emes, is there's never a lacking of God's supervision. God is always there. God is always the shepherd. God is always in charge of the mashkiach. But what is lacking is our ability to see that, and what is lacking oftentimes, certainly in more recent generations, is having the proper people to show us that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is guiding our lives. And we should have the bracha, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying in this pasuk. It shouldn't be that Klal Yisrael doesn't have the teachers and the leaders to show them that we always have HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our shepherd. The shepherd is always there, but we simply need the tzaddikim, the leaders, to show us that that is the case. And our bracha should be that as Moshe Rabbeinu was praying to have his successor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give guidance to our leaders. They have guidance and they are great leaders, but he should give even improvement. Everyone can always improve. And we should have the proper leaders in Klal Yisrael to show us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed is, it's the fact, and we should just have our eyes open to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us 100% of the time. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, the last Dvar Torah. We're going to take it from the Haftorah Parshas Pinchas, great parallels between the Parsha and Haftorah. We are talking about zealotry again, just like Pinchas was the zealot. On behalf of Kalal Yisrael, we have the discussion of Eliyahu Hanavi, who was the zealot against the evil king and queen Ahab and Jezebel. They knocked out, killed all the Nevi'im except Eliyahu. A terrible, difficult time in Klal Yisrael. And based on the kanos of Pinchas and the kanos, the zealotry of Eliyahu, there's a discussion that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld had. He was one of the leaders in Eretz Yisrael, the leaders of the Eid of Haredis, and he was known to be a Kanai as well. He was a zealot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was known to be very anti the secular Jews who sought to actively destroy Judaism. We're not talking about people who weren't affiliated. We're talking about people who really actively tried to be destructive to Klal Yisrael. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld was very negative to them in a very public way. And at a certain time, somebody asked him as follows, "You're supposed to be a tzaddik, you are a tzaddik, so why are you so negative on other people, on other Jews? They may be trying to destroy Klal Yisrael, but why don't you milamet zchus? Why don't you see something positive in them, say something positive to them? At least try to be mekar of them," something like that. Why all the negativity and kano, zealotry from you? So he answers as follows, "I need to tell you, when I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my approach about these people is I say Tehillim for them. I cry on their behalf. I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help them be chozer b'tshuva. We need to improve these people as destructive as they are for Klal Yisrael." But he daven for them. And this is what he told the person who was asking. "I daven for them. I care for them. I love them. However, when it comes to how I have to act with them, why am I so harif? Why am I so sharp with them? Why am I so direct with them? Because I don't want other people to learn from them, from how they act. It would be a terrible thing if people saw that they're acting like this and there's nobody telling them you're wrong, you're heretical, you're doing the wrong things. And that's why in public I have to be very antagonistic to them. I have to be very anti them because I want it to be clear to everyone that the way they act, the way they approach Klal Yisrael, the way they approach Torah is incredibly destructive." And indeed, the lesson there, the Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, is even when we have these adversity kanos and we have to act that way towards certain people, but our approach internally has to be davening for them, saying Tehillim for them, and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should enable them to see the light and be chozer b'tshuva, because obviously that's our ultimate hope with each and every Jew, to come back home and adhere to the requirements of the Torah so we can all have a beautiful brisi, shalom, a wonderful covenant of peace together. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.